everyone. Welcome to the 8th series in our weekly podcast. Today, it is definitely going to be crazier as I invite Subhajyoti Roy, designer at Microsoft and have experience with companies like Scoopoop, Lollipop, UI UX Studio and Flipkart. Hi Subho, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you, Sudhi. Thank you for inviting. Thank you so much.
No problem. Subho, can you start with introducing yourself with a story and knowing more about you? How did you get into design? Why design?
I'm a graphic designer based out of Bangalore. I mean, currently I'm staying in Calcutta because of the entire lockdown. But generally, I'm based out of Bangalore. So I'm born and raised in Kolkata. So the idea of this beauty and design developed in me from a very, very early age. So my mom used to teach me about traditional Indian painting. She used to take me to different art galleries, and I used to watch her working on different handcrafts and textile arts like sewing, knitting, embroidery, whether with hands or with machine. So I also started practicing art from a very young age. I worked under Prithu Shankar Das. He's one of the very renowned artists in Calcutta. So. So all this thing in my childhood led me to a deeper understanding of aesthetics and helped me to pursue more functional form of design, I would say.
So can I exactly know like how many years it has been to you being in this field?
So I've like, if I considered about professionally working, it would be 5 years, 5 years plus.
That's great. And I want to know that what were some of the difficulties you faced, you know, getting into this field, and how did you exactly learn the tools and techniques in this world? Because being from a different background.
So, look, for me, it was always working backwards. So first I think about the work I want to do or want to create. And then I go in the reverse order. By reverse order, I mean I'm trying to figure out what tools and medium I need to use to create that work. And it's the same process for me for doing any form of art or design. In terms of understanding tools, it's fairly easy. I mean, right now you have a lot of tutorials in YouTube, Skillshare. I personally have learned most of them from YouTube or Skillshare. And so. Out of curiosity and started, I kind of, in college, I started watching design tutorials, and it kind of helped me a lot in understanding of the tools. Yeah.
So I want to know that when did you in college, like you mentioned that in college, you started seeing these tutorials. So when exactly in college did you decide to explore this design field?
So I was doing engineering. I'm traditionally trained as an electrical engineer. So in college, I after my second year of training in electrical engineering, I thought of maybe I want to do something else with my career. So I started exploring the design side of it. And that's when I started learning these tutorials and these tools, whatever we need. And apart from YouTube, also my seniors and colleagues have helped me a lot. I mean, they have played a very important role in my learning and career. So, yeah.
I think, yeah, mentorship is really important. And especially when you're from a different background, it really helps you find the right path.
Right.
That's amazing. Right. I now would like to know exactly, and especially for other designers, that being from a different background, what were the difficulties you faced while finding work? And since you've worked with so many big companies, so how exactly did you prove your potential to them? Or what were the steps, basically?
Okay, so when I started applying for companies in my college, the first problem I faced is that what was the skill set I need to apply over there, or what is the skill set I need to understand to get into this industry. So that was one of my doubts when I started applying. So, and to be honest, I figured that out after a few failed interviews and after a few failed rejection emails. I mean, a lot of companies were actually very nice in in telling like, okay, you have been rejected for this reason and we are expecting this kind of skill set. That entire process helped me to figure out a lot in terms of what I need to do and what are the skills I need to grow to apply in this in industry. And eventually, I made my portfolio and applied in a few other places. And I believe I was lucky enough to get a call from Supo.
That is great. So which one was your first, which was the first company you worked with? And like you talked about finding the right skill sets. So could you let our listeners know what are the exact skill sets or what are some of the important skill sets you need to have while applying for your first job as a designer?
Look, I think it depends on in which field of design you are applying. Okay, that's very, very important. Like if you are applying in UX, okay, you need to have a portfolio that's present UX work. If you are applying in marketing, you need to have a portfolio that represents marketing work. So understanding that part is very crucial as a self-taught designer. And even as a normal designer, if you have even studied in college, that part is very, very important. And apart from that, I think, look, I mean, if I tell you about my story about how I got into Scoop, okay, I mean, it's a really crazy story. I mean, I would say like Saransh and Akanksha were very kind enough to give me the first chance. I mean, so Saransh is a creative officer in Scoop, and Akanksha was one of their art directors. And to be honest, I owe them a lot for what I'm doing.
Being right, a kickstart right to your career.
Yeah, kickstart of my career. And when I actually moved into Scoop, I didn't know a lot about design. And that's when I met Vineet. So he was my first manager and also my first art director. And I learned most of the things from him. Like he taught me about typography, layout, how to balance my work. I used to like, he used to like give me some separate design tasks also. And he used to teach me technique to help me understand a lot of things about design and help me to grow my skill. So yeah, I think those things helped me a lot in my initial days. In terms of product design, when I moved to Lollipop, I think I was working with the agency. So, and it was a really different experience in terms of like you work with most of the people in agencies are designers. So you have a good opportunity over there too. Know the industry, know the people. So yeah,
that is nice. So as you were talking about, like, you know, the different roles in design that we need to be first sure of the different roles in design. So you having an experience of 5+ years, how did you go about exploring different design careers and then settling to the one that you are doing today?
So initially when I started doing, initially when I was working in Scoop, I was not working in UX, I was working in day-to-day articles, marketing stuff a lot. So after a year, Vineet kind of told me like, hey, you should explore this field in UX and see what you can do about it. So I started learning about UX. I made my portfolio and I started applying for a few other places. And I got into Lollipop at that point of time. And Lollipop was doing really good at that point of time. I mean, it's still doing good. So that was crucial in my career, I believe. And when I came to Lollipop and worked with other designers, it kind of helped me to understand what UX is, what UI is, and what are the companies probably I need to invest my career in, because I was in Lollipop, it was a service side in design, okay? And when you work in service side of design, you get to work with a lot of clients. You don't get, you're not working in just one feature or one product. You are working with a range of products, and that's really nice. But after a certain point of time in your career in service, you might want to move to a more specific focused field. So that's when I decided to move to more of a product based approach. So that's why I'm working in a product company right now.
That's amazing. That's actually interesting how you said that from writing articles and doing some marketing work, you got to explore the field of design. talking about the current work that you're doing in Microsoft, could you brief us a bit more about what are you exactly doing and how do you contribute?
So I work as a visual designer in Microsoft Teams, and as a visual designer, I have got a chance to work with a range of impactful features. To name a few of them, I've worked on calendar, I've worked on search, I've worked on feeds and few others. And as a visual designer, my responsibility is to look at the overall framework, connecting the dot between the visual features. And what I mean by that is, so when a UX designer works on a feature, they generally come up with a pattern that is very unique to that feature, and they believe that that pattern is unique and they need that pattern in the framework. Okay? But eventually that's not the scenario. Most of the time that's not the scenario. So my work is to evaluate that and see that if we can use the existing design pattern over there. So giving proper feedback is a very important and large part of my job. But apart from that, I'm involved in a lot of vision project and innovation project. Yeah.
That is amazing, right? And can you tell us about how you exactly, you know, came up to this point and joined a Microsoft designing team? Like how, was it a recruiting thing or was it some, like how did you exactly get it?
So I was working with Flipkart at that point of time when I got a call from Microsoft. So they were hiring for Microsoft Teams. I mean, they were building the team for Microsoft Teams. And that's when, at that point of time, Chad was my design manager. So he called me up one day. He sent me a message in LinkedIn telling that, hey, we have an opening if you are interested. So I did send my portfolio. And then after a few days, the interview and everything happened.
That's amazing. Congratulations. I want to know that as a self-taught designer, it's not always, you know, easy to keep up the motivation going. Because it's not like a course or a diploma kind of thing where you're getting tests, where you're getting portfolios to make. So how exactly did you keep the journey going? And what was that motivating factor that got you up here?
Look, first of all, even if you study in a college, okay, this might happen, the tools that you learn in college, and when you're graduating from college, the industry have changed, okay? And that's a fact. I mean, before 5 years, people were like probably using Photoshop for creating UI, okay? And after that, people were using Sketch for creating UI. Right now, people are using Figma for creating all the UI UX, okay? So industry is changing rapidly, and the only way to stay updated is to learn and stay updated with the industry. I would say like learning reading articles in Medium, watching what are the major big players in the companies are doing in the industry. I would say those are the few things you can do, anyone can do to stay updated. And as a designer, I have been like very focused and curious about the beauty and functional approach of the product. So I believe that beauty is as important as function in the product. And if anyone wants to make the product timeless, it have to be beautiful, okay? And we have seen example of that in Indian market also. I mean, considering like 10 years back, okay, Just Dial was one of the market leader. But they had a horrible UI. Their interface was super, super horrible. And then came the Zomato, and they just like changed the entire industry, right? So staying curious and having those basic things figured out in your life, in your career, I think that would help you stay updated all the time.
Do you think that the network that you had around you played a role in, you know, making you stay curious and also in getting you lots of opportunities?
Oh, it's big time. It's absolutely. I think when I was working in agency, and still now, I think right now we are working from home, so it doesn't happen a lot. I mean, if we're in office, we discuss a lot regarding, okay, there's a new thing happening in design. Okay, let's explore some other projects. I mean, apart from working in whatever we are working in office, we have to explore some projects. We used to think of writing articles, and that helped me a lot, I believe.
That's amazing. Right. I want to know exactly how you, with your job in Microsoft, stay updated or, you know, take out time to do your stuff in design.
Look, so the point is, this is something I'm doing for a very long time, and this is one of the suggestions I got from my design mentor. So I spoke about Vinith, right? He was my first mentor in design. So Vinith is still my design mentor, okay? And he is one who told me that you always need to work on your own stuff apart from whatever you're working on office, because that's a creative outlet you need to have. And that have helped me a lot. Posting my work online have helped me immensely. Okay, I mean, the job offers I have got, or the freelance offer I have got, I mean, it has a lot to do by me just putting out my work in Behance and in Instagram. Okay, like I have consulted for companies like Bogo and all of them. So those offers all came from Behance. Okay, my Flipkart job offer literally came from Instagram. Like a recruiter saw a few of my posts on Instagram, and she reached out to me saying that, hey, we have an opening, would you be interested? So that's why doing personal work is as important to me.
Right. Yeah, I think in this virtual world where everything is online, people identify you with the social media presence that you've maintained. And so sites like Behance and Dribbble really help there.
And the thing is, like, I would say a lot of people take this in a different way. Like, a lot of people design specifically for Instagram and Dribbble. I say that don't do that. Okay, like, work, like, take up projects and work on an overall project. Like, don't focus on Instagram. Like, Instagram, Dribbble, these are like the after part. Okay, first you need to work on a project, find a project, work on it. Like, and that should be for your personal satisfaction. Okay, then you should like post it in Instagram, Dribbble, and sure, those things helps a lot.
Sure. Right. Like you said about projects, finding your own projects and not just for posting it on social media channels. Mm-hmm. So I would like to know that how did you exactly find those projects? Because sometimes it gets difficult to work on a single project or to get it, keep it going. So how do you exactly, you know, minimize that confusion?
Look, I mean, there are certain things I do in my daily life that help me a lot to stay motivated. Okay, if you are talking about the motivation part, okay. And one of the major thing I do is listening to Google podcast. Google have this design podcast, so I generally recommend it to everyone. So listening to the design podcast, reading articles in Medium, that helps me a lot to stay motivated. The second part is finding project. I think finding project is not a difficult part for me, because in a daily life, if you look around, there are endless amount of problems that the world have, and those need to have a nicer solution. So you can just take up anything and work on it. I believe that.
That is nice. That is actually a good solution. You know, a lot of times we are looking for design problems that are unique. But if we start looking at our daily life, we'll find a lot of problems that are yet to be solved and that can be solved.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, look, the point is, the first rule is don't look at internet to do your projects and all. Okay, like, don't think that internet will give you some magical project or something.
Right.
That's not going to happen. Okay, like, look at the daily objects, like look at few of the timeless design objects that you have in your home. Okay, consider the lock and key. Okay, like the lock and key, that design is like more than 50 years or 100 years people are using that same lock and key design. Okay, and why is become timeless? Like try to analyze those things. Like consider a spoon. Okay, like that's a very daily object we use, but it was designed like in 1000 BC, okay, by Egyptians, and still the design remained unchanged. Okay, so what make that product so timeless? Like try to identify all those things. So I think if you just observe your daily life, I think you will find enough projects in your life.
That is such a good advice, observing, and especially like you're thinking on how we can, you know, actually find analyze the stuff that why some things are still timeless and why some things are always evolving.
Sure.
That's a really good advice. I want to know that, you know, you are so excited about the tech in India, the tech, the amalgamation of tech and design in India.
Of course.
So could you like throw some light? Could you let us know what exactly are you thinking, or do you have some assumptions, or do you predict, or do you have some plans of your own?
So, in terms of tech and the startup culture that happened, evolved in India in last 10-15 years, and if you observe it, I think it's phenomenal what India is at this point of time. Okay, I mean, consider, like, if I just talk about fintech, okay, I in my personal life, I'm very interested in investing and fintech. So if I just talk about fintech, okay, look at the amazing products that right now we have. I mean, look at company like Zerodha. Like, Zerodha's platform is like the best platform in the whole world, I would say, for investing. Like, period. There is no other platform which is better than Zerodha at this point of time. I mean, look at Swiggy, the design and the they have done, I think it's really, it's beautiful. I mean, no other companies in the world would have cracked such a beautiful UI and UX. Okay. So I think India is just getting started in that journey. And I think since we had a billion people, it's a country of a billion people, the tech will only evolve. And it's a very exciting time for us to live.
Right. I want to know, like, you were talking about freelancing projects, how you got freelancing projects through your Behance and other profiles.
Mm-hmm.
So can you detail us about some of the freelancing projects you worked on, or how exactly you took them on? How much time did you dedicate to them? Okay. What were the steps, right?
So, so advanced thing is, like, I don't do work on freelance right now. From since the time lockdown has started, I have stopped freelancing. But when I was freelancing, actively freelancing, so what I did was I actually spoke to a few of the design agencies in Bangalore and Mumbai. Mm-hmm. And those are really, those are development agencies, okay? And they often used to get design projects and they don't used to do the designs. So I spoke to a few of them and I cut out a deal with them that if there is a design project that's coming to them, they will probably give it to me. And we can figure out the finance after that. But that's how I used to get most of my freelance project. Apart from that, Behance was one of the platform where I used to get a lot of requests for freelancing projects. So yeah.
Like, we did talk about the Behance, and Behance, which is, like, you know, a very good platform for designers. But did you use some generalized proper platforms like LinkedIn or any other job platform?
No, I never used any of them.
And do you think what do you think about the personal brand of a designer?
I think is very important. Like, if you are if you talk about creating your personal brand, I think it's very, very important. I think at this point of time, it is very, very important. And the reason behind is that, but so there are a lot of pros and cons about creating personal brand. Okay, first we need to evaluate that. If you're creating personal brand, and if you're just talking about design trends and all, okay, if you don't have a good content or material in your personal brand, nobody will actually follow you off after some time. Okay, so you have to come up with something that will be timeless, and that the reason people will come back to you. So that one part. And the second part is that people focus a lot on their Instagram and dribble nowadays, which I think is they are doing wrong. I think they need to focus on design, because if you're a good designer, your personal brand will come from your work. Okay, you don't have to worry about that part. That will happen anyway. So yeah,
no, that's nice, right? And I also want to know that since network played a big role in your career, I want to know that how did you exactly get to connect people? Was it some events you joined? What exactly was it?
Not really. I think I'm good at personal connection, like talking to people one-on-one mostly,
right.
And I don't go to events. or neither do I go to any workshop or anything. I mean, workshop are like what, like 1 day or 2 day workshop, you hardly learn anything from there. Okay, like just let's just
see. So, but what was that first point of contact from those with those mentors or with the people that you connected to today? How did you first connect?
Look,
which platform?
I've connected with Vineet in my first job. Okay, so that's for my job. I've connected with Anandi, Shatish, and all of them from my second job. They are all in Lollipop. I've connected with Chad, Ajay, and all of them from my third job. So mostly all my design connection has came from jobs. Okay, and later few of the design connection have also came from Instagram, because I was posting my work and a lot of people reached out to me. And then we started speaking, and I personally worked with a few of them in personal projects. So yeah.
That is nice, amazing. I would like to ask you one last question for the evening. And that is, what is that one advice that you would like to give to all the budding designers listening to us?
Oh, yeah, I'm not in a stage to give advice, but okay. I believe just like staying curious would help you a lot to become a better designer. I think just try to learn a bit about the history, try to keep your basics clear about designs, try to keep your basic clear about typography, layouting. Like if you're working in a graphical user interface, like try to clear, have those basics of typography, colors, layout, and all of those. I think that will help. I mean, in terms of tools and all, it's an evolving market, okay? You can't learn all the tools in the whole world. But, and I think the mistake that any fresher designer do or a self-taught designer do is that they try to learn the tool, okay? They don't try to learn the designs, and that's a mistake. You should try to learn the design first, and then comes the tool. Okay, like if you know motion design, you can do it in After Effects or Principle. Like given any apps in the whole world, you can do it. Okay, if you know the basic of motion design, so try to learn the design first and then the tools.
That's a really good advice, and you know, I'm gonna follow it from now on. Anyways, thank you so much, Suru, for joining us today.
Thank you.
This is the end of our 8th podcast. We'll be putting the link to you. So Suhu's LinkedIn in the description below. And thank you everyone for joining us today. Hope you had fun.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.